In today's gospel, Christ urges his followers to give witness when they are persecuted. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen, and what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time has come. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first. But it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nations will rise against nations, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. Before all this happens, however, they will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to the prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead you to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, and relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
How do you feel about surprises? You know, when we were kids, and for those of you who are still kids at heart, or those of you who are kids, actually kids, surprises are great. You know, somebody said you were going to give us a surprise. We couldn't wait. I remember I was maybe nine or 10 years old, and the week before my birthday, my parents said to me, "We got a big surprise for you." Oh, God, I could hardly wait. You know, what could it be? And, you know, anticipating, thinking, waiting. I got so excited. The day came. It was my first new two-wheel bike. A Schwinn Hornet. Now, some of you know what a Schwinn Hornet was. Some of you younger people here don't have any idea of what a Schwinn is, never mind a Schwinn Hornet. The Schwinn Hornet was a deluxe bike in those days. Mine was forest green with ivory trim. It had a light on the front fender. You know, you could put a battery in it, have a light there. Didn't have a bell. You know what it had? A horn. You put a battery in, you could push the button on the side, had a horn. This was, you know, it was just marvelous. And looking back on it, I really do believe that the anticipation of it, the waiting for it, the expectation made it all the better. But you know what happens when we get to be adults? We don't like surprises so much. Maybe we get too sophisticated to be surprised by anything. We get too jaded. But even if that's not the case, most of us have come to understand that surprises can be bad as well as good. We have our life in order, we have things under control, we have everything planned. We don't really like to have any of that disturbed too much. So for many of us, surprises, we have ambivalent feelings about. But that's too bad for us adults. Because what it means, probably, is that we cannot anticipate with joy the final surprise God has in store for us. God's final surprise at the end That's what Jesus is alluding to today, the end of things. You know, for most of us, I think, when we think about the end, it's not a pleasant thought. Stars falling from the sky, wars, insurrections, all these things, everything burning up in flames. We don't want to think about that. But you know, all of that destruction, so to speak, is only so that there can be a reconstruction, a purification, a recreation of everything in glory the way God intends it to be. The greatest surprise of God of all. If only we could believe that, you know. I think you and I tend to be a little bit more like the little boy in a religious education class, fourth grade. Teacher says one day to them, "How many of you want to go to heaven?" Because all the kids put their hand up and so forth, except this one little boy. He's sitting there kind of slumped down in his chair, and she looks at him and she wonders whether he understood the question, so she asks it again. "How many of you want to go to heaven?" Kids start waving at this little boy, no. Until one of his classmates leans over and says, "You don't have to go today." Then he puts his hand up, you know. Yeah. But see, that's the way we most of us tend to think about the end. We just as soon not have to face it. But what if it's the greatest surprise that God has planned for us ever? Because after all, when you stop to think about it, God is a God of surprises. God is a God of surprises. Just think. The universe. Why does anything exist at all? Why? Why is there anything at all? God didn't have to create anything. What a surprise that he would create to start with. And then think about our beautiful earth. You know, it's amazing that the earth is fine-tuned for human life. What a surprise. Scientists tell us that if the earth were tilted just a little bit more or less on its axis, life here couldn't exist. The ultraviolet rays of the sun will fry everything. If the earth's crust were just a little bit thicker or a little bit thinner, we couldn't maintain an atmosphere. It would all go flying off into space. Get down to the atomic level. Now, I know nothing about this, except to share with you what scientists say. In the atom, there are two forces, a weak force and a strong force. I don't know what that means. But if those forces in the atom were just a little bit different, atoms couldn't exist. Nothing would hold together. Amazing. What a surprise. Then think about yourself. Is it a surprise that you're here? Why are you here? Did God have to create you? Why you? And then think about yourself. You're totally unique in the whole history of the world. You and me. You know, you watch those CSI programs on television. You know what that means, right? You commit a crime and you're unfortunate enough to leave a little drop of blood or a hair someplace. They've got you, right? Because your DNA, which they can get from those little traces, is different from anybody else's ever. What a surprise that each of us is just totally special and unique. What a surprise. And then, when from the very beginning, when we turned away from God, humanity, why didn't God just wipe his hands of it? Why didn't just God say, "Look, I'll try again"? But he doesn't, though. He sends Christ into the world to redeem us out of love. What a surprise. See, God is a God of surprises. So why would we think that at the end, it wouldn't be the best surprise of all, the greatest surprise of all? The prophet says it today, doesn't he, in the first reading? The Son of Justice will rise and will shine on you. What a great, beautiful, glorious surprise it will be when that time comes. Let me conclude this morning with a little example, probably from kind of a strange source, maybe unexpected source, Sherlock Holmes. You all know who Sherlock Holmes was, right? The famous detective created by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Well, Sherlock Holmes, of course, is famous for his deductive reasoning, right? And in one of the stories, The Adventure of the Naval Treaty, go out and buy that now, The Adventure of the Naval Treaty, okay? Sherlock Holmes is standing at a window, and he's holding up a rose to the window. He's looking at the rose, examining it. And he turns to his sidekick, Dr. Watson, and he says, "You know, Watson, we have a lot to learn from the flowers." Watson says, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, it appears to me that everything in the world is something that we need, almost everything. We need air, we need water, we need sunlight, we need our bodies, we need our minds, we need all those things to exist." But he said, "But this flower, it appears to me that this flower is an extra. It's an extra. Its smell, its beauty, we don't need those. It's an extra. And so it appears to me that the providence that stands behind everything must be very good. Because otherwise, why would that providence provide us all the extras?" What a surprise. The providence would show, God would show himself to be so good to provide all the extras. What a surprise. What a beautiful surprise. So, the end, the final end. You know, there's a beautiful song we sometimes sing at Mass, "Only a Shadow." There's a verse in that, that it's just a very powerful verse for me. The dream I have today, O Lord, is only a shadow of your dream for me. Only a shadow of your dream for me when we meet face to face. What a surprise it will all be. What a beautiful, wonderful surprise. May God bless you.